You're with The Record. I'm Marcy Silman with Steve Scherr. Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why do children make red hearts for St. Valentine's Day? In their new book, The Secret Language of Color, mother-daughter authors Joan Extet and Ariel Extet explore the chemical and biological reasons for different pigmentation, but they also look at the meanings that humans have assigned to purple or yellow or red. Colors have been around since life began, but humans haven't always understood how we perceive color. I asked the duo who figured out what white light refracts into a rainbow.
The crazy thing about color is that it actually doesn't exist until it hits our eyes and our brains perceive it. So if you compare us to other animals out there in the world, we're all seeing different things, and nothing is intrinsically colored what we see it.
Now, for example, Ariel's wearing a beautiful orange
shrug.
Thank you. And Joanne, you are wearing purple.
I am.
I think it's purple.
It is indeed.
It is indeed purple. Tell me the story of how somebody figured out the spectrum of light.
Sir Isaac Newton was the one, and he did experiments with a prism. He took a beam of light, and he sent it through a small hole in a window, and he broke it into its component parts by sending the white beam through a prism, and he saw that it broke down into what we call the rainbow. But those colors were seven colors that were arbitrary.
Really?
There's an arbitrary number. There could have been 11. He started with 11, actually, and he eliminated. Because if you look at the rainbow, there is no distinct division between A and B and C and D. They're melded together in a very subtle way.
In your book, you point out that blue wasn't really in early centuries a color that was as recognized as we would say royal purple or green or yellow, which got me to thinking. You point out that people didn't say that the sky was blue. We perceive it to be blue now. Tell me the story of blue.
Yeah, so blue, it's not that blue didn't exist. It's just that we didn't have language to describe it. So language and color are so fascinating. So if you go way, way back into human history, we first just had words for black and white or dark and light. And then red tends to be the first color added, no matter what your longitude, latitude, it doesn't
really
matter.
Really doesn't matter what culture.
Every culture,
no.
Really red was first.
That's fascinating.
And then there's a little bit of, you know, what goes next is a little dubious, but blue often comes late in the game. So things that were blue were simply referred to as green often, or black, or in the case of the sky, really it was not referred to as anything at all, as if it didn't exist.
Why was that?
You know, we don't know the reason why exactly. It's like the sky just is.
taken for granted.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I'm talking with Joanne Extet and Ariel Extet, their mother and daughter and co-authors of a wonderful book about this secret language of color. We talked a little bit earlier about how red was the first recognized color across geography, latitude, longitude. Are there cultural differences in the emotions or the meanings that we associate with different colors?
Absolutely. So, you know, for example, in the United States and the Western world in general, yellow tends to be a color that we're not that fond of and have more negative associations with. Whereas if you go to China, you know, you'll find yellow everywhere, and it has all kinds of positive associations. Like in Chinese culture and philosophy, yellow is considered equally yin and yang, and it's associated with wealth and balance and the earth. So we don't have that. So you see lots of yellows when you go to China that you don't see here.
So Joanne, if all cultures recognized red first, do they assign the same connotations to red that we do?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, it can signal love or hate, you know, rage, all different kinds of things. And there are, you know, there are Satanists, neoconservatives, communists, all used red, for example, to represent them. They couldn't be more different.
I got to thinking about, in looking through this book, which is very beautiful, you have beautiful color plates in here, but I was thinking about colors that are very popular right now, at least in Seattle, sort of a neon green and day glow pink or orange. And I was wondering, I mean, I guess I was thinking of them as artificial colors as opposed to the colors that white light might break down into. But there is a pink when I look at a rainbow, right? There's pinkish color in there next to the red.
Well, it also is, it fades. As you look at it, you know how the rainbow fades.
Right.
So it red will fade out into pink, or, you know, blue will fade out into something very pale.
So when you think of those, I'm looking, there's a highlighter marker sitting there that's that day glow orange. Those are colors. People wear those now. When you think about color, do you include those in your definition of color?
Absolutely. So yes, but there are different kinds of colors. There are additive colors and subtractive colors. It's a little bit complicated and counterintuitive, but I will try to explain
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So subtractive colors are, I think, what we're more familiar with. And those are, for instance, if you mix paint, you are actually adding, you're subtracting light. And so you end up with black or something very dark you mix.
When they
mix the red, yellow, and blue, you're getting very close to black when you mix them all together. That is the chemistry of color. There is a physics of color, and that has to do with light. If you mix red, green, and blue light, you are going to get white, not black.
All you artists probably knew that. That's Joanne Ekstedt and Ariel Ekstedt telling us why when blue, red, and green light, stage lights, for example, come together, they make a white glow. It's part of the physics of color. They're the authors of a book called The Secret Language of Color.